It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Zach and Josh. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt here, hanging out with you. We've got the Olympics on, and man, some of these
canoe
sports.
Slalom.
Yeah, I'm glad we're going there because we were watching it in the break. And some of these sports, I look at it, and yeah, of course, there's kind of this like, all right, you know, it's more concentration or it's hand-eye coordination, what have you. And yeah, I know I can't do certain sports. Like last night, I watched China versus North Korea in the mixed doubles for table tennis.
Oh, my God.
And I'm watching that, and I'm like, look, I get it, it's table
Wait,
tennis.
Wait, they do doubles in table tennis?
It was mixed doubles, yeah.
Oh.
And I'm like, I get it. Like, there's no chance I could play it. But I also know it's not like a physically demanding sport that, say,
it's
swimming
mentally
or
demanding,
track
I
is.
Feel like.
Mentally demanding, absolutely. But what were we watching? It was canoe
slalom.
Yeah, that looks exhausting.
There's also canoe sprint, which we haven't seen
how
yet.
Many canoe sports are there?
Two.
Okay, well,
but canoe slalom,
it's more than I thought.
It looks so intense. I mean, you have there. Okay, so if no one's seen it yet, the way it works is it's kind of like the ski slalom, where you're going down a incline,
yeah,
basically, or a decline I should say. But in this sense, you're in water, and the water is moving. Like, it's like almost like white water rafting, but you're in a canoe. And you have to, like, navigate through these gates. But then all of a sudden, there are red ones where you have to go through all the green ones, go through the red one, and then circle around it going against the current, and then coming back through it again.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
And, what?
I'm good. Like,
and you have to do 23 of them, in the singles at least. There's
doubles
there's
of that.
Kayak...
Oh my goodness.
Single and kayak cross. So I'm assuming the cross is like, because okay, when you click on canoe slalom on the Olympics website,
yep.
At the top, they have a picture of the sport. And on the one side, there's a guy by himself, you know, paddling.
Yep.
On the other side, there's four people like jockeying for position in kayaks.
That's fantastic.
So it's just like a race. And it's,
That is fantastic.
I want to see that. That's something I want to see.
The other sport that I cannot wait to watch today is the men's gymnastics, the all-around final. I have been locked in, man, with gymnastics. I always do end up getting there, especially when the Olympics comes around, because it's a sport that, like, I personally, Josh, don't want to be a gymnastics dad. That is my worst fear as a sports parent, because the stress level that would be there.
Mm-hmm.
No. I'm good. I don't want to deal with that. But watching it, you're just, again, the one guy, Steven Nerodic, or however you say
I
his name.
I just call him Steve.
Steve, the pommel horse guy for the Americans. I'm like, he's a hero. I love watching him play.
He got the first Olympic medal for the United States in
men's
gymnastics.
The men's team overall.
Men's team, right, because the women's team is dominant. Yep. But the first men's Olympic gymnastic medal since 2008.
And he secured it by just by being the pommel horse guy.
Yeah, just by being a pommel. And when they added him to the roster, it was widely criticized.
Apparently it was like very criticized.
He was just a specialist, essentially. Like, this is like if the Bills were to sign a guy just for kick returns. I mean, maybe not to that extent, but if you signed, if the Bills had...
They gave him a big-time contract to just kick return.
Right, exactly. That's the better way to put it. Like, I was going to say, if they have like a certain amount of cap space left and there's two players left and you have a glaring need on one side and you go and sign the other one, that's kind of what this would be like.
But most of the Olympics I've actually ended up having to watch on mute. I'm working during those.
Yeah.
I mean, we have TVs here in the studios, but usually they're on mute. So I end up watching it later with the sound on of the commentators.
Mm-hmm.
And on that point with Steven, it was like... Even when he was getting ready to do it, like the announcers were like, "Yeah, and this is all he does. Like, and when you bring on a specialist, he's got to be a home run hitter. Like, it has to be a home run.
And he
nailed it. Yeah. And then he's been a very fun personality as well. Like, when, you know, he obviously has to wear glasses, so like he takes them off and he has to, like, you know, as someone that wears glasses, he squints the entire time.
Yeah.
And
he also I think he's cross-eyed. So yeah. He uses, like, and he can somehow
he says focus he feels his eyes. On the pommel horse. That's what he's using to kind of see is by using his hands. Also,
that's fantastic. It's a superpower.
In like his year at Penn State, he wore, I don't know what those like athletic glasses are.
Oh, the sports goggles.
Sort of, but they're not prescription. He just wore them like just to wear them.
For the vibe.
That's kind of interesting.
That's incredible. I like him a lot. But, like, so he's a fun personality. But then even when they won, I obviously listened to the commentary, he's celebrating with everyone. Like, his team kind of all knew, like, all right, we're going to win a medal. And then, like, towards the end, is like, the celebrating is going down. He goes, I don't know what happened. Did we do it? So he's just, like, celebrating with these guys. And he goes, did we do it?
That's the definition of being unbothered. You just go out there and everyone's celebrating. You're like, yeah, like I'll celebrate with them too. What are we celebrating, guys?
Like, I know I did well, but like, did we nail it?
Ooh, we got handball on right now too.
Handball's a lot of fun, but yeah, like the gymnastics, I always get into it. And then of course, watching the women's, just they have been unbelievable. And I'm not gonna lie, mm-hmm. I know there was a former U.S. gymnast who was given quite a bit of scuff to this current women's team. I've really enjoyed all the clap backing of like, yeah, we just went out there and dominated.
I don't know if I'm the only one, but I thought Michaela Maroney was the one that was saying all this stuff.
No.
But I realized it was someone that spells Michaela differently. Mm-hmm. And she's like, man, I should like change my name or something like that. I don't want to be associated with her.
I've seen that. Speaking about specialists. Man. So that's been a fun thing. Speaking about specialists, Michaela Maroney for the 2012 London Games for the women's, she was brought in to be their vault person. That was her thing.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, this is awesome. But yeah, so Steven, he's going to end up doing the pommel horse final, I believe, on Saturday morning. Cannot wait for that. I am so excited to watch that because just he's kind of become like, and this happens every Olympics. There winds up being a few athletes that just, I don't want to say become household names, but like we all remember them, whether it be just for a single event or, you know, their record breakings, what have you. Everyone kind of remembers who they are. And man, it kind of already feels like he's going to be that guy. And we haven't even gotten to like track and field yet. Like, and that's maybe to many people, like, the event of the Olympics. I don't even think it's started yet. Like, we've got a lot of...
Track always feels like it's on the back half. So
yeah,
like,
it is.
Like, when it comes to, like, the individual races, like, for example, swimming. Swimming's always first, and then once swimming is done, then track starts.
Because swimmers a lot of times don't actually take part in the opening ceremonies because they're swimming the next morning. And it's like a whole day event, a lot of walking. They're like, I'm not going.
Yeah, it's funny. When we got in the studio today, I was like, oh, look, what are they winning? Oh, an American one. Oh, this is just
And I immediately
prelims.
Shut it down. I was like, dude, that's just prelims.
Yeah, and this is why, another reason why swimming is overrated. There are too many events. Just get it. Just do one and
funny
call
enough,
good.
On that, too, there used to not be as many events. They've recently added the 1500,
oh my goodness.
Which is Katie Ledecky's like main event. She's swimming the final tonight.
When you're doing so many of the same event.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's too many of the same event.
Yeah, the prelims, then the semifinals, then the final.
Like, I get it. There's that way in team sports, but that's because they're team sports. It makes more sense that way.
That's why I find it just as impressive. Of,
I mean,
like,
there's
you have
also
to be a great
only
swimmer.
Eight lanes. That's the thing,
yeah.
Is that
true.
There's so many athletes.
Make the pool bigger. Why not?
They do that for some of the relays.
Why not?
They'll end up having a ninth or a tenth team.
No. Do 64. What's stopping you?
Actually, quite a lot. You don't want to be in the outside lanes because the waves come in at you, and it actively makes you slower.
Oh, really?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
That's why
are lanes 4 and 5, and then they spread it out. It's essentially an added bonus. You don't really have any waves coming at you where, you know, guys in lane 1 or 8 have all the residual waves coming at them.
What if we make just a bunch of pools next to each other?
There we go. Now we're talking.
Because then you have separation.
Now we're getting there.
Listen, the Olympics need to hire me.
just let me talk.
I just want to have a conversation about making the pools bigger so you don't have to take half of the Olympics to finish the swimming competitions.
But then the other half is track. Track then takes the other half.
But I don't know how you can make track bigger.
I mean, you can't.
You can't.
But I'm saying, swimming takes up, you know, the front half of the Olympics. Track takes up, you know, the back half.
It'd be so cool, though, to, like,
with
look
other
down
events, like,
on
mixed in.
Four big pools, and they're all, like, swimming at each other, then swimming away and swimming. Like,
you're going to hate to hear that they probably have a secondary pool for warming up and cooling down. You're going to hate
and
to hear that.
And they don't use that for competition.
They don't. They use that for swimmers to warm up. Because, like, that's the thing, too. Like, what you don't
see... You could have a whole other building to warm up in. Just go over there. Like, use this building for competition. That's like... I don't even know how we compare it to.
I just love seeing Josh get this
flustered.
No, because it's just, whenever I turn on the TV to watch the Olympics, it's just, oh, look, another swimming event.
Yes. Yes.
And I don't mind swimming events, but I just don't want, they're oversaturated.
Let's dive into this, because I know Jeremy and Joe were talking about this yesterday. I think it was yesterday.
Yesterday or the day before. I can't remember.
So they were talking about this. They are different disciplines. There are swimmers right. who are better at certain strokes than others.
That.
I mean, like that, but that's why, like, I'm okay that there's so many medals. It's the same with gymnastics. You know, Simone Biles is considered as great as she is because she can do a lot of it, but we do have certain people. Steven, we brought up, is just there for the pommel horse. He is not going to be the all-around guy, what have you. It's sort of the same in swimming. They're all radically different. Then, of course, you do get the relays, and we can have that argument if there's too many relays. I don't think there is, because they do have different guys then on those, or different guys and gals on those. But they're all different. I mean, we're seeing the one guy, Leon Marchand, the French swimmer. He's sort of like this version of Phelps. He's not Phelps, but he's the version of him, of like he's doing the butterfly, he's doing the individual medley, what have you. But then you do have swimmers that they're like, I do backstroke, baby. That's all I've got. That's all I can do. That's all I offer you. And that's fine, but that's why I do look at athletes such as Michael Phelps and Mark Spitz in such a high regard, because you have to win all of these events in different disciplines with people that are probably going to be better than you at a certain stroke, especially in the individual medley. Like, we all know Michael Phelps is a great butterflyer. He was not a great breaststroker. Like, Ryan Lochte was a better breaststroker than him, arguably a better backstroker than him. But, like, Phelps in 2008, and this is why, like, it's the greatest athletic feats ever, is 2008. He won 8 gold medals. He set 7 world records.
Do you know how many events there are in the swimming category?
I'm going to go 25.
More.
32?
35.
35. That makes sense. Because you're going to get the 50 freestyle, 100 freestyle, the 200, the 400, the 800, the 1500.
I just
you do the 100 and the 200 of each of the strokes, and then you have the relays. And then you have also the 400 and the 200 for the individual medley.
But I just don't get why we have to do so many distances.
It's because they're different. It is a completely different race.
Like, 50 to 100 is different?
Yes.
Yes.
If you were to, like...
The 50 is a single lap. You dive into the pool, you go. 100, you will have the turn.
So the 50 is like the sprint.
50, that's considered like you're the fastest person in the world if you win the Olympics.
Gotcha, okay.
The 100, there's already that different avenue of the turn, which we've seen. Like, if you watch the Olympics, you will see people that are in third or fourth at the turn.
And they mess up the turn.
Or they nail the turn, yeah, and they're in front. It's right. A completely different race. It's the same with the 200 compared to the 800. Katie Ledecky is considered the greatest distance swimmer maybe ever, up there with like Ian Thorpe of Australia. But she's, you know, the third best 200 freestyler. But you get to like the 800, the 1500, even arguably the 400, she's like the greatest ever.
See, now that you're explaining it to me, it makes a little more sense. But it's just, when I see all these numbers with all these different styles and everything, I'm like, what is the point of this? I saw this yesterday and they were only swimming 400 meters. What's so different?
That is 12 years of feeling different body parts on fire because I'm swimming a different stroke. That is why.
But it's just, 35 is a lot.
That is, I'm not screaming.
Like, that's a lot of stuff. And whereas you look at like BMX, I was watching it today. They were done in like one day.
But I think that's the deal. Like, I mean, but then that gold medal, you can argue, does maybe mean more. I mean, Simone Biles yesterday now has 8 gold medals in her Olympic career. That is the most by any gymnast ever.
Right.
And she has how many different
things named after her?
Well, exactly. Like she's
the moves
she's
and everything
infinitely
like that.
Changed the sport of gymnastics. Yeah. She has 8 gold medals. That's the most by any gymnast ever. Where I just mentioned Michael Phelps won 8 in a single Olympics. So you can't argue that like hers do mean more, right, or that they can kind of equal out. It's the same with Usain Bolt. I think Bolt has, I think, maybe 6 gold medals or something along those lines. It's something I think similar to Biles, and that's because track does not have nearly as many events. But I would argue track athletes will also tell you the different disciplines.
Bolt has 8.
8. Okay, so it's the same as Simone Biles. But I think track athletes would say the same thing of like, well, yeah, like, hurdling is just, you know, running but slower because you have to jump over things.
No.
But ultimately, it's a completely different discipline. There is different things that go into it. It's the same with butterfly to freestyle. Butterfly, it's much more a rhythm-based stroke because if not, your arm's going to be on fire, your back's going to hurt, it's going to be terrible. Mm-hmm. But you get in a rhythm, you're good. Freestyle is just you cup the water and you yank back as hard as you can and they get themselves into a rhythm. It's a whole thing, but... Like, I can understand it, but, like, yeah, it's like, you know, fencing, they have, like, a few of them, but, like, ultimately theirs, is it just becomes different swords. Like, that's what
they're doing. That's also pretty, that's pretty
they're
sick.
They're using different swords. So, like, there's differences here and there for each of these sports. And I think that's why. There's just differences there. Swimming just has easily the most differences compared to every other Olympic sport. With that being said, though, it's that track and field and gymnastics that are very clearly like the big three of the Summer Olympics.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I don't think anyone would disagree with that.
And I think like if you look back on the history of the Olympics itself, that's kind of the longest lasting events. I mean, maybe not swimming so much, but...
Does swimming also add in marathon swimming as its own like event, like part of it? Mm-hmm. Or is that just... Because I know that's an entirely different event.
Nope, that is an entirely different category.
Okay. I didn't know if it was going to be part of the swimming
category. Water is great.
Because that's the open water thing. But like you'll never see the Olympic swimmers...
They swim 10 kilometers?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wait.
It's insane.
How do I convert this to American?
It's a lot. It's a lot. How do I convert this to American? Let's go to the phones here. We've got Rob on the line. Rob, good morning.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them? Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How are we doing today?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Doing very well.
Good, good. Love the show. Was hearing a conversation around the Olympics, and it never fails. Every 4 years, you find yourself at 7 a.m., in this case, watching water polo or canoeing or something like that.
It's the best.
It's hilarious. And your point about the gymnastics, I mean, I was joking with my wife last night watching the women's event, like the balance beam. Like, can you imagine, like, doing backflips on basically the banister? Like,
they put heart monitors on some of these parents. It's cruel. I'm like, what is happening?
It's crazy to see these athletes, and it's so cruel to see, you know, you put 3.5 years in, and all of a sudden you got 30 seconds to perform on the world's biggest stage. And to your point about never wanting to be a parent, it's like being a goalie parent in hockey.
Oh, I can imagine, yeah.
It's nail fighting. Even the Winter Olympics, like you sit there and get captivated by the long jumpers, like the long ski jumpers, like the flying squirrels. I've been to Lake Placid before and seen how high these guys like fall from. And you can't fathom the kind of training that goes into it. And it's very respectable, it's very enjoyable. And yeah, it's good for a short period of time, to your point about watching swimming or, you know, consistent events. But the amount of passion that goes into it, the amount of patriotism that goes into it, I'm Canadian, so even watching the women's rugby team, get through the sevens where they had no business being in the final, is just something that, you know, it makes your heart smile, but can also break it. So thanks for the conversation, boys, and enjoy the rest of the Olympics.
Rob, man, you as well. Thank you for the call. On Canada as well, because we were talking about swimming as well. Summer McIntosh, the 17-year-old from Canada. Unbelievable talent in the sport. And then, perfect example, as Rob brought up there, the women's rugby team. I don't know what's happening in rugby, Josh, but I'm watching rugby sevens yesterday, and I'm texting my cousin too. Cause, you know, he played lacrosse, and he kind of understands a little bit more about rugby than I do. And I'm like, all I know is she is running at full sprint towards what I'm going to call the end zone. I'm definitely wrong on it, but that's what it looks to me.
Goal zone or something like that?
But she's running a full sprint, and like, you know, everyone's freaking out. And the highlight yesterday, I think it was like a former women's rugby player was like part of the commentary, and like she's freaking out because like they're going to win a medal.
The try zone.
No, got it. And it's just like, there's this part of patriotism. I'm like, I've never watched rugby a day in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I was completely captivated and into the idea that the U.S. women's was going to win a bronze medal.
Speaking of just, you know, Rob's point about gymnastics and the heart rate monitors
man.
Have you ever seen, which I am now learning it's called the Corbett flip?
What?
It's a gymnastics. So you know the uneven bars, the like lower and higher bar where they spin around and stuff?
Yep.
Look up the Corbett flip. It's Olga Corbett. She did this in 1972 at the Olympics. She's just flipping around on the bars and like catching herself with her hips. almost smacking her head off of these bars. Like, it got outlawed. It's banned in gymnastics. Like, I knew there was something called, or I didn't know what it was called.
There was some move, though, that you knew, like, it had been banned.
It's, like, famous because people have tried it and I think have been, like, seriously injured when
they tried it. I saw yesterday before, I think, I was rewatching stuff for the women's final. And one of their performers, I can't remember her name now, but like they were showing practice where like she went for the uneven bars and went just totally slipped and like landed awkwardly, like landed, yeah. I think on her shoulder. And I immediately like knowing she's about to perform, I know she's okay. But I was like, oh, like it's just like, and I have no like personal connections to her. I've just now seen who she is 3 days ago.
Right.
And like, yeah, there's something about the Olympics. I think for me personally, the Summer Olympics, I do like the Winter Olympics, but I'm much more of a Summer Olympic guy. Part of it, I did perform in one of the sports for much of my life.
Ooh.
Well, no, but wow. it comes in like all of a sudden when I'm watching swimming, I know what I'm watching for. Like,
right? Well, yeah,
there are certain sports I like watching because I have no idea what's happening.
Yeah, it's like if you watch a hockey game or a football game and you're not a fan of either team, you're watching it for the sport.
Yeah,
because you understand the sport because you want to watch it. Like soccer too, same thing. But like at least that's the big three for me. There's baseball and basketball too, obviously.
Yep.
But when you're watching rugby or when you're watching canoe slalom, you have no idea what's going on. Like, we were watching canoe slalom earlier, and the lady missed one of the gates. And I'm like, that's got to be a penalty.
And we both were like, oh, no.
And she gets gold because, there's no penalty on it. And it's like, oh, so, like, it's okay if you miss one?
See, but I'm even, like, watching stuff like Simone Biles the other day. I think she stepped out of bounds. But, like, because her routine was so perfect and so difficult, outside of that, it didn't matter. She still was, like, the best. By quite a bit.
I looked that up today. So gymnastics is scored now. They've changed it. Like it used to be, 10 out of 10 or whatever.
Yep.
Now it's your execution score and your demonstration score.
Okay.
So that's why you see like 14, 15, 16.
Got it. Okay.
The execution score is still out of 10 and they start at 10 and they go down and then, as you mess up.
Got it. Okay.
But the other one is your demonstration score. And I can't remember. I think that one's like, one to like six or something like that. And that's how you can get to 16 if you have like a perfect score. It's a 16 now.
Is she the greatest Olympian ever? Ooh. Like I think it's pretty clear like she's the greatest gymnast of all time.
And are we excluding, hockey players, basketball players, because you have professional athletes that play all year round playing in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Like LeBron James could be in the conversation.
It's always,
but if we're talking about Olympic sports.
Yeah, it's tough for me to do those team-based sports and say a LeBron or Sidney Crosby are the greatest
ever.
Wayne Gretzky, greatest ever Olympian. Yeah. Like I do look at it more as disciplines.
Gretzky only participated in one Olympics.
I was going to say, because even though Gretzky
and he didn't, I don't think they won a medal.
No, that was the one year that Canada like fell off and was like pretty bad.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That they did it with Wayne Gretzky.
That was the year that the Czech Republic with Dominik Hasek won 98.
Yeah. He only participated in one game in 1998, and that's all his profile says. There's nothing else. There's nothing else there.
But I guess that's my thing. Is like I look at basketball or hockey, and like they're in a different category because it's a lot of like the professional athletes that are coming in, and they do this kind of as like a summer project almost. Like they're like, oh yeah, cool. I can now say I'm an Olympian plus also being an NHL player, an NBA player, what have you. I look at it much more of like, yeah, like the track and field athletes, the snowboarders, the swimmers, the gymnasts, what have you. Like that I more see. And like I'm always going to be a Phelps guy. Like I obviously as a former swimmer, but like it does feel like Simone Biles is just like leagues and bounds like ahead of anyone else.
I'll tell you.
And
like, I think
still
that,
is great.
I think that Simone Biles is like a 1B to Phelps's 1A. Not trying to take anything away from Simone Biles. It's just that I felt like Michael Phelps transcended the sport of swimming.
But I'm already seeing some of his world records get broken.
But
like that, Leon Marchand
already
did it with
everybody's world records get broken. That's sure. The thing. Like a world record will be broken every year.
But Biles has changed the sport entirely. Like now we're talking about like just in absurd degrees of difficulty that like other gymnasts are told like don't try this. She's the only one that can do it. Like that was never a thing with Phelps. Phelps and even then Phelps as well. I would never say, like, and this is where I could even almost argue Katie Ledecky is maybe a better, in terms of her events, a better swimmer than Phelps. Phelps had real competition. Ledecky in the 800 and the 1500 doesn't at all. Biles, I would say the same thing, but on a longer stretch here where she is just, she's better than everybody else. I want to dive a little bit more into this. We've got to take a quick time out here. If you want to join the show, 803-0550 is the number to call. Zach Jones, Josh Schmidt, and you're listening to WGR.
There it is! Oh, there it is! Cedric with the conversion! and Team USA make history in Paris.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
Alon Amar, the hands in the air. They've done what no other American rugby team in sevens have ever done before.
Oh man, that's the moment right there where the U.S. Women's Rugby Sevens team does take the bronze medal in a last-second, very dramatic win over Australia. I'm good whenever like they beat anyone from like that area of the world in rugby. New Zealand or Australia, that seems to be kind of like their main sport. If you can beat them, you feel pretty darn good. I mean, honestly, you feel pretty good.
Especially in swimming. Remember that, right before the Olympics, they showed Michael Phelps a video of, I think it was the year prior, some Australian...
It was Chad Leclos, who was South African.
No, it wasn't Chad Leclos. It was some Australian female swimmer that was on some, maybe like sort of the Today Show for Australia.
Oh, this is recent. This
and
is recent.
Said,
okay.
I can't tell you how nice it was not having to hear Star Spangled Banner the first day. And I'm like,
which is tough because now the Australians are a better swimming nation. Like, I mean, in all seriousness, the United States needs to pick it up with swimming because the Australians are better right now, which is the main rivalry. Because every time they come up with swimming, like they'll show like, here's the medal count, here's the rivalry between the United States and Australia, and Australia is beating them. I mean, again, the United States only up this point has 4 gold medals, one of them being a team event with the U.S. Women's Gymnastics. So. Before we went to break, though, we were talking about the Olympics, maybe the greatest ever athletes, you know, to do the Olympics. I will say, so I just tweeted out real quick, is Simone Biles the greatest ever Olympian? Yet to get a yes. It has been all
really?
Phelps.
Is it just because of the medals?
I don't know, because now I'm looking at Phelps' page. So here, just some of the tweets. She's up there, but I think Phelps is dominant, makes him a lock. Def one of them. What she can do amazes me every time I watch her. No, nah, Phelps, it's not even that close. Phelps, ? I think that's the thing, is it's Phelps. And then when you do look, I think a lot of it too is Phelps' longevity and how good he was for so long. I mean, we all remember the 2008 Olympics. People do forget the 2004 Olympics in Athens.
Yeah, but look at, I mean, how long has Simone Biles been around?
I mean, well, he also competed in Sydney in 2000. I mean, Sydney, he didn't get a medal.
But he was 15 years old when he does it. Right. So, I mean, you look at 2004, he does win, I think this is going to be 7 gold medals and then and then 2 bronzes.
Yeah.
Or 6 gold medals and 2 bronzes. So, I mean, he basically does the same events in Beijing. He just goes gold the whole way. London as well. He ends up winning 2 silvers, but it's 4 gold medals as well. Rio, he wins 5. Plus a silver. I mean, yeah, I think Phelps as well. And then even just looking at, you know, the list of multiple, you know, medal winners, he's 10 above the next closest person, which is a Soviet gymnast, Larissa Latina, I believe is how you say her name. And she was part of the Olympics from 1956 to 1964. And she won 18. He wins 28 total.
Yeah, but it's hard because it goes back to the conversation we were just having about all the swimming events that you can win medals in. And I think he has more opportunity to win events. So that I'm not trying to discredit him here. I'm not saying that at all because he has 23 gold medals and I have 0. But looking at this, it's the amount of events that he can compete in and he can win is closest comparable to Simone Biles, because Simone Biles has all the gymnastic events she can compete in. But it's still so much more opportunity to be able to win. Obviously, when you're looking at the value of the medals, it could go down a little bit if you're saying, if you see all of these medals in all these different events, it's like, well, you know, what does that really mean? Yep. Whereas when you're a team sport, you're winning one medal.
It is tough, because I mean, like, that's where we're bringing in the medal counts. I mean, she is now one of the most decorated gymnasts ever in terms of total medal count, right? But I think it's just the United States that she has that. Where Phelps, you look at, I mean, we're going down his counters. It's not even just like the medals he's won. You go through by race. He's got, you know, 8 gold medals in the 100 butterfly in terms of, you know, the Olympic Games, World Championships, everything. He's got 8 medals there. It's, you know, he's an absurd athlete and really, I mean, did change the game, you know, for, you know, lack of a better phrase, he changed the game in terms of swimming.
Right.
I mean, turns now are considered, you know, one of, if not the most important aspect when you're actually swimming. The stroke is actually considered the slowest aspect of the actual race, start turn, then the actual race.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. I mean, but then you go to guys like Carl Lewis, who performed in, you know, I think the 80s and 90s. He has 9 gold medals and 1 silver. He's never had a bronze. Usain Bolt also is somebody. I mean, he dominated those early, the early 2010s. It was him and Phelps that were kind of going back and forth in terms of like how dominant they were at their specific sport.
And I think it's also like recency bias too, because we're seeing right now, and that's also the tough thing. Every 4 years this happens. It's not like this is happening every single year. So
you only get so many chances at it,
right? And it's, I think it's, you have to look at who makes the most out of the little chances they have.
Mm-hmm.
Because Phelps spanned across 20 years, but that's because he started when he was 15.
Yep.
Whereas in other sports, you can't do that.
Yeah, you're just physically you're not going to be able to do it.
Right. You're not able to do that in basketball. You're not able to do that in soccer even. I mean, in soccer for the Olympics, they have the under 23s. But still, you're most likely not starting on that team unless you're 19, 20.
Yeah.
And then at the same time in that conversation, you can only play until you're 23.
Yeah.
And then you're not on the team anymore.
Let's go to the phones here. We've got Bob on the line. Bob, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good morning. I'm doing good. You've got some great suggestions, but I have a different one. Winter Olympics, Eric Heiden won 5 gold medals. He was in the sprints and graduated all through the endurance skating, which is impossible. No one in the history of speed skating has ever even come close to what Eric Heiden did for the U.S. It's probably 30 years ago. He won every race that he was in, 5 of them. And again, the sprints through the distance skating. Unbelievable performance.
Bob, I like this poll a lot. Thanks for the call. It's all in the 1980 Lake Placid Olympics. So we all kind of know that one.
It probably got overshadowed a little bit.
Overshadowed by the Miracle Team, but Bob's spot on.
Yeah.
He wins gold in the 500 meter. He wins gold in the 1,000 meter. He wins gold in the 1,500, the 5,000, and then the 10,000. It literally is the sprints all the way to the distances. Hmm. He wins every single medal there in speed skating.
That's dominant.
That's a good poll. But that's something where, because now we're talking about, you know, with Phelps specifically, we're talking about, you know, his longevity and how long he's done it. Simone Biles, her longevity, how long she's done it.
Mm-hmm.
This is Heiden's only Olympics is 1980.
Right.
Now, does he, in terms of like greatest ever Olympic performances? I think now I'm going to look at this one.
That's a different conversation.
Yeah, I'm going to look at his performances like a top 5. But in terms of longevity, I think that's what we're looking for too. But Josh, you have brought up it's every 4 years, but I think that also adds into the point of just how dominant you have to be for so long. You have younger, maybe better trained athletes coming up, and yet you're still able to be there, I think is also a level of just how impressive it can be.
I think what's also interesting too is the fact that when you look at, you know, it's hard because the Olympics are the Olympics and you want to keep them, like, what sports do you want to look at? Do you want to look at just the original Olympic sports, or do you want to look at the new ones that have been added in terms of basketball, hockey, soccer? I mean, soccer's been in there for a long time, but you get my point. If you look at the team sports, how much does the conversation change? Because when you look at hockey and basketball specifically, the professional players in the NBA and the NHL haven't always been allowed to play there, especially the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So how many Olympic games did we miss out on Sidney Crosby being dominant, or Ryan Miller being dominant, or even back Wayne Gretzky? We were talking about him before the break.
He only competed in one,
and that was partially because of the fact that the NHL couldn't compete in the Olympics.
Yep.
So how much of it relies on the fact that these leagues won't allow their star players to play, and also does that just kind of negate them from the conversation? Because you look at LeBron James, for example. He's top 2 in basketball history.
I think most people agree with that. Yeah, he's top 2.
So you have to kind of look at, and same with Michael Jordan. Like when you look at both of their longevity in the sport of basketball, they're the greatest of all time. But when you look at Olympics, they're not anywhere near the top of top Olympians because they don't compete in that many games.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think that's kind of the interesting aspect of these team sports compared to, you know, the non-professional I wouldn't say non-professional, but the ones that don't have major sports leagues, it's drastically different. Like when you look at rugby, what the U.S. women's team did in rugby sevens was historic. But how much of that is how much of that is overshadowed by the fact that, you know, it's over such a long period of time.
Yeah. It's just it's interesting. I mean, so Mike tweets in, I think you have to say Michael Phelps, and by a pretty big margin. Of course, it does depend on what your definition of greatest Olympian is. Is it longevity? Is it total medal count? Is it greatest single moment or achievement? I think some of those, though, are kind of their own list at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like greatest ever performance, I think that's where we're all of a sudden going into Eric Heiden or 2008 Michael Phelps or you know, even 2008 Usain Bolt, 1984 Carl Lewis. And on that, Mike did also bring up Carl Lewis. I was a little kid, so I barely remember it, but I do remember the insane amount of hype around his performance in 84, despite no social media. I think that's a thing, too, because I know who Carl Lewis is, and I was born in 98. With other track athletes that were coming up, I know who Carl Lewis is because of 84 in LA and how dominant he was and how much, you know, kind of he had that big personality, the big smile, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting that I think the Olympics specifically compared to other sports, it is very, very difficult to ever nail down the greatest ever because, yeah, like we look at Phelps, it's the longevity and it is the medal count. But as we've brought up a lot this week, swimming allows for much more opportunities.
Yep.
Where compared to gymnastics, Simone Biles has won 8 medals, but ultimately she's able to compete in like 3 events
per
Olympics.
It is. She does have more opportunities than the normal like Olympian in like table tennis.
Yeah, which maybe has 2. Maybe.
Right. But it's that's where it becomes the conversation of most dominant, most impressive performances and things like that, where it's like, you know, you look at the specific Olympics or an entire career or just the medal count overall. Mm-hmm. Because the medal count overall goes to Phelps because he has 23 gold medals.
Absolutely.
And that's just gold medals. Another guy I wanted to bring up, though, is kind of in the same vein as Simone Biles, is Shaun White. Because obviously Shaun White isn't as, you know, overarching, but he only competed in 3 Olympic Games, but he has 3 gold medals.
Yep.
And he was a trendsetter in snowboarding all across the world. He put snowboarding on the map. I mean, I remember the Sports Illustrated issue with him on the cover with the big orange hair with the gold medal and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in the same vein as Simone Biles because he was doing things that no one had ever done before.
Yeah, with the half pipe, he was somebody that was just different.
People were like, I'm not spinning that many times. And Shaun White's like, cool, watch this. I'm going to spin 4 more times than you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's... That's more so like, I guess the conversation could also shift to a trailblazer in the Olympics. Like, who's the biggest trailblazer, right?
Yeah.
Like, who has done the most for their sport?
That is where you are bringing back. Like, you know, Phelps is obviously going to be in there. He did change
Simone
out the sport.
Simone Biles will be
Simone
in there.
Simone Biles absolutely is in there.
Jesse Owens comes up, too.
Jesse Owens absolutely has to come up. We haven't brought him up, but I think he absolutely has to come up.
In an overall conversation. But
Greg
also
Louganis as well, the diver.
Yep.
He changed kind of how people were diving. I mean, he was doing things that just other people could not attempt.
Again, with recency bias, if you look back, I mean, I was looking at lists and the swimmer Mark Spitz. You knew who he was because you're a swimmer, but I don't know who he is, and I'm reading all about him, and it's in the 70s. He was super dominant. He was basically Michael Phelps of the 1970s.
That's who Phelps beats in 2008 in terms of, you know,
records.
How many gold medals in how many events. Spitz, in his time, went 7-for-7. Phelps goes 8-for-8. That's who he's beating.
This is why the Olympics is great, because it makes you realize how many athletes there are in the world that are just regular average Joes during the day, and then at night they're just like gold medal athletes.
Because like their sport is not able to be necessarily professional sport on the likes of the NFL, NBA, NHL, MLB. You know, there is no real professional swimming, per se.
Yeah.
You know, or there's no real professional track. There is to a certain extent, but not what we know it as.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it puts a spotlight on a lot of these athletes for a small time. But as you see, like a lot of them do stick with you for a long time, if not your entire life.
Also, I misspoke a little bit. Mm-hmm. White did perform in 5 or participate in 5 Olympic Games, 3 of them as a snowboarder, 2 of them as a skateboarder.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
I this is just his Winter Olympic page. I can't – or actually, no, I'm – maybe – maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I'm only seeing his Winter Olympics stuff.
Okay.
But he did compete as a skateboarder as well.
Okay. Got to take a quick time out here. 803-0550 if you want to join the show. Coming up at 12 o'clock, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR. Oh, yeah. Love that music.
Good music.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I think we've got judo going on here on our screens.
This is something that is also crazy. And
anything with karate.
Anything with
scares
like
me.
Wrestling.
Like, yes.
That's just, it's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's one of those, like, I was never that person.
We got gymnastics on.
It's the men's all-around final.
It's gone.
Okay, it's gone. But it's the men's all-around final. I wanted to keep up with that as much as I could, so that's coming up. Josh, you sent me this list, though, real quick before we leave. I've got to get my thoughts. It's ESPN's top college quarterbacks of the 2000s. I'm frustrated. At number one is Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
In whose world? An Oklahoma fans? Moving on. Next, number two, Cam Newton. Should be one. That 2010 season is unheralded. He took basically no offensive talent to the NFL, and he took that team to an undefeated season in a national championship. Number three, Vince Young. Okay, that's fine. I get it. Him, Tebow at four. You can flip him. I don't care. That's fine. Five, Joe Burrow. For that one season alone, absolutely. It's kind of the same with Newton. The only difference is he had truly elite NFL talent on his team. My biggest problem is guys like Johnny Manziel being at 13. Whether you like the guy or not.
He was the reason.
The first freshman to ever win a Heisman Trophy. Yeah. I don't care that he was a redshirt freshman. He's the first ever to do so, and he put A&M on the map. Kyle Field has 110,000-person capacity because of him. And then other guys, Colt Brennan coming in at 46. I mean, just the disrespect. The disrespect. I mean, rest in peace to Colt Brennan, but like any kid in the early 2000s that loved college football knew what it was to watch Hawaii at like 11 at night and watch them put up like 65 points. The great aesthetic they had, the whole thing, the silver uniforms. Unbelievable. These ESPN lists have been frustrating me. That's going to do it for me and Josh. Coming up next, Sabres Live. The Bills will be back at practice tomorrow at 9:45 from St. John Fisher. Have a great day, everyone. This is WGR.
It's over such a long period of time.
Yeah. It's just it's interesting. I mean, so Mike tweets in, I think you have to say Michael Phelps, and by a pretty big margin. Of course, it does depend on what your definition of greatest Olympian is. Is it longevity? Is it total medal count? Is it greatest single moment or achievement? I think some of those, though, are kind of their own list at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like greatest ever performance, I think that's where we're all of a sudden going into Eric Heiden or 2008 Michael Phelps or you know, even 2008 Usain Bolt, 1984 Carl Lewis. And on that, Mike did also bring up Carl Lewis. I was a little kid, so I barely remember it, but I do remember the insane amount of hype around his performance in 84, despite no social media. I think that's a thing, too, because I know who Carl Lewis is, and I was born in 98. With other track athletes that were coming up, I know who Carl Lewis is because of 84 in LA and how dominant he was and how much, you know, kind of he had that big personality, the big smile, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
It is interesting that I think the Olympics specifically compared to other sports, it is very, very difficult to ever nail down the greatest ever because, yeah, like we look at Phelps, it's the longevity and it is the medal count. But as we've brought up a lot this week, swimming allows for much more opportunities.
Yep.
Where compared to gymnastics, Simone Biles has won 8 medals, but ultimately she's able to compete in like 3 events.
Yeah,
per Olympics.
It is. She does have more opportunities than the normal like Olympian in like table tennis.
Yeah, which maybe has 2. Maybe.
Right. But it's that's where it becomes the conversation of most dominant, most impressive performances and things like that, where it's like, you know, you look at the specific Olympics or entire career or just the medal count overall. Mm-hmm. Because the medal count overall goes to Phelps because he has 23 gold medals.
Absolutely.
And that's just gold medals. Another guy I wanted to bring up, though, is kind of in the same vein as Simone Biles, is Shaun White. Because obviously Shaun White isn't as, you know, overarching, but he only competed in 3 Olympic Games, but he has 3 gold medals.
Yep.
And he was a trendsetter in snowboarding all across the world. He put snowboarding on the map. I mean, I remember the Sports Illustrated issue with him on the cover with the big orange hair with the gold medal and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And he's in the same vein as Simone Biles because he's trying things. He was doing things that no one had ever done before.
Yeah, with the half pipe, he was somebody that was just different.
People were like, I'm not spinning that many times. And Shaun White's like, cool, watch this. I'm going to spin 4 more times than you can.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and it's... That's more so like, I guess the conversation could also shift to a trailblazer in the Olympics. Like, who's the biggest trailblazer? right?
Yeah.
Like, who has done the most for their sport?
That is where you are bringing back. Like, you know, Phelps is obviously going to be in there. He mm-hmm. did change
Simone Biles will be
Simone
in there.
Simone Biles absolutely is in there.
Jesse Owens comes up, too.
Jesse Owens absolutely has to come up. We haven't brought him up, but I think he absolutely has to come up.
In an overall conversation. But
Greg Louganis as well, the diver.
Yep.
He changed kind of how people were diving. I mean, he was doing things that just other people could not attempt.
Again, with recency bias, if you look back, I mean, I was looking at lists, and the swimmer Mark Spitz. You knew who he was because you're a swimmer, but I don't know who he is, and I'm reading all about him, and it's in the 70s. He was super dominant. He was basically Michael Phelps of the 1970s.
That's who Phelps beats in 2008 in terms of, you know,
records.
How many gold medals yeah. in how many events. Spitz, in his time, went 7-for-7. Phelps goes 8-for-8. That's who he's beating.
This is why the Olympics is great, because it makes you realize how many athletes there are in the world
yeah.
that are just regular average Joes during the day, and then at night they're just like gold medal athletes.
Because like their sport is not able to be necessarily professional sport on the likes of the NFL, NBA, right. NHL, MLB. You know, there is no real professional swimming, per se.
Yeah.
You know, or there's no real professional track. There is to a certain extent, but not what we know it as.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it puts a spotlight on a lot of these athletes for a small time. But as you see, like, a lot of them do stick with you for a long time, if not your entire life.
Also, I misspoke a little bit. Mm-hmm. White did participate in 5 Olympic Games, 3 of them as a snowboarder, 2 of them as a skateboarder.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
This is just his Winter Olympic page. I can't – or actually, no, I'm – maybe – maybe I'm reading it wrong, but I'm only seeing his Winter Olympics stuff.
Okay.
But he did compete as a skateboarder as well.
Okay. Got to take a quick time out here. 803-0550 if you want to join the show. Coming up at 12 o'clock, Sabres Live. You're listening to WGR. Oh, yeah. Love that music.
Good music.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. I think we've got judo going on here on our screens.
This is something that is also crazy.
Anything with karate.
Anything with scares me. Wrestling.
Like, yes.
That's just, it's a lot.
It's a lot, and it's one of those, like, I was never that person.
We got gymnastics on.
It's the men's all-around final.
It's gone.
Okay, it's gone. But it's the men's all-around final. I wanted to keep up with that as much as I could, so that's coming up. Josh, you sent me this list, though, real quick before we leave. I've got to get my thoughts. It's ESPN's top college quarterbacks of the 2000s. I'm frustrated. At number one is Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
In whose world? An Oklahoma fans? Moving on. Next, number two, Cam Newton. Should be one. That 2010 season is unheralded. He took basically no offensive talent to the NFL, and he took that team to an undefeated season in a national championship. Number three, Vince Young. Okay, that's fine. I get it. Him, Tebow at 4. You can flip him. I don't care. That's fine. 5, Joe Burrow. For that one season alone, absolutely. It's kind of the same with Newton. The only difference is he had truly elite NFL talent on his team. My biggest problem is guys like Johnny Manziel being at 13. Whether you like the guy or not.
He was the reason.
The first freshman to ever win a Heisman Trophy. Yeah. I don't care that he was a redshirt freshman. He's the first ever to do so, and he put A&M on the map. Kyle Field has 110,000-person capacity because of him. And then other guys, Colt Brennan coming in at 46. I mean, just the disrespect. The disrespect. I mean, rest in peace to Colt Brennan, but like any kid in the early 2000s that loved college football knew what it was to watch Hawaii at like 11 at night and watch them put up like 65 points. The great aesthetic they had, the whole thing, the silver uniforms. Unbelievable. These ESPN lists have been frustrating me. That's going to do it for me and Josh. Coming up next, Sabres Live. The Bills will be back at practice tomorrow at 9:45 from St. John Fisher. Have a great day, everyone. This is WGR.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait. Pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.